Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northland International University and the co-host of the broadcast. And Doc, we are right in the middle of a brief series that we're doing as our Christmas series this year. And we've taken an Old Testament story that I don't think very many people would initially put together with this, but it really does give a portrait, a picture of what God did. And obviously, we're talking about the story of Elisha the prophet and the Shunammite woman who had a son that had come as a promise from God, and that really as that boy grew into a young man, he had gone out to the field one day, and in a matter of just a few hours, death had taken this boy and had brought tragedy to the home of this woman. And she comes and she finds Elisha. And he comes. First, he sends a servant that was serving with him, Gehazi. And the servant wasn't able to bring life to this boy. And so he comes. And the story that we've been looking at is really unfolding along the lines of giving us a picture of what God did when he sent his son to serve us. And we noted in the last broadcast that when Elisha came, he illustrated five principles that really manifest themselves in the incarnation. There was the principle of proximity. Elisha came near to the problem, just like God came near. And we talked about the name Emmanuel being God with us. And then we had talked about the principle of privacy. He shut the door, which we noted was implicating that he gave dedicated time and focused attention to this. Just like God dedicated time and gave focused attention to us while we were on the earth. And we noted that there were three more key principles in the story that we wanted to kind of mine out today. So why don't you pick it up from there and let's continue looking at how this Old Testament story helps us learn how to incarnate the incarnation.
Well, verse 33 of 2 Kings chapter 4 said, he went in, as you mentioned, proximity, shut the door, privacy, and prayed. So principle number three is prayer. Well, that's a given. And, you know, I remember when I was reading, many, many years ago, I determined on my read-through one year I was going to read every single word of the Bible, including the genealogies, every single name. And I was going, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then so-and-so begat Jabez. And I put a message together on Jabez, and I said he was prominent because he was set aside, he was a pain. And he prayed. Those are the three P's that I had. His name meant he was a pain. And he prayed, and God answered the prayer. Well, you look at the New Testament, and you see the New Testament, we are commanded to pray. Mm-hmm. And it would be a given. Obviously, all you parents, all of us who are grandparents, have the names of our children and grandchildren and our families praying. You teachers have the names of your classes on a prayer list.
You know, Doc, anymore, though, I'm not taking that for granted. I'm just amazed more and more, and probably because of my own lack of prayer, I'm amazed more and more at how many people actually don't pray.
Well, I think that's an indication of self-dependence and pride.
Right.
If I think I can live my life and not go to God with the loads I'm carrying, that's an indication of a serious issue.
Because you got this other servant that showed up, and he didn't pray.
No, that's right.
Gehazi went. I mean, there's no record that he prayed in this, and that's just like us. You know, no wonder we have no ability to minister deeply to others like Elisha did.
Well, when you look at the whole picture, there is relational leadership and there's mechanical leadership. Mm. Elisha had relational leadership. Gehazi had mechanical leadership. He simply did mechanics. He did the...
He took the stick. He put it on the child.
He did the mechanics. So when we look at it, it's a given that prayer is to be made.
And Jesus prayed a tremendous amount all night on a number of occasions.
Yes. And so I don't think we need to park on that. Maybe going into 2011, we might need to do maybe a series again on prayer, reminding us as we go in, how dependent are we as people?
So principle of proximity, principle of privacy, and the principle of prayer.
Then number four, it says, verse 34, he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth on his mouth, eyes on his eyes, hands on his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. So now he literally gave himself totally to this child. It was a complete investment in the life of this child. And I believe when we look at what Christ did for us, complete abandonment to the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Obviously, in our leadership today, we can't do what the Old Testament God-anointed prophet did with the gift of being able to raise the dead. But we can make the application of giving ourselves totally to the people.
Well, and that's exactly what Jesus said in Mark about his own self. He didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
And so you look at the Luke chapter 14, who can be a disciple? Love me supremely. I must be Lord of all, and you must leave all. Now, question, why was Elisha successful? Because you go back into the life of Elisha from the day of his call. He left all. He died to himself.
Yeah, sacrificed those 12 oxen, left his plow, burned his implements.
And made his family well. He literally died to himself.
To kind of follow a prophet who initially may not have even wanted him around.
Right. Yeah, yeah, because I'm sure that last day that Elijah was going.
What is that to me?
Yeah, and in Elijah sticking to him like glue, Elisha is. Yeah. And Elijah said, I have business to do. And these preacher boys are asking, when is God going to take the master? He said, I'm having all I can do to keep up with Elijah right now. Don't be bugging me with that. This was the last day of Elijah's life. Elisha was keeping pace. But what Elisha did to make himself usable was he absolutely abandoned himself to the call of God.
And that's what Christ did. He abandoned everything. Philippians 2, he set aside his deity and he made himself available as a servant.
And that's what Paul did. I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
And so we see incarnating the incarnation.
It's going to take more than just talking about things. I mean, we're going to actually have to do what Elisha did in the Old Testament, which shows us that it can be done on the human level. Because I think sometimes we think, well, Christ did it, but I'm no Christ. But you can be an Elisha, and Elisha did that.
But remember, we had the third person of the Trinity in us as believers.
Right.
Now, why was Gehazi not usable?
Good question.
What did we find out about where Elisha died to himself totally? Gehazi never did.
In fact, he was trying to use his position to further himself.
Gehazi's personal agenda took priority over everything else. Well, you say, how do you know that? If you study the next chapter, you remember Naaman came, and he is grieving because he has this leprosy, and this little servant girl, who was a slave girl there, said, oh, I know a man in my hometown who can solve that problem.
And he comes, and Elisha heals him, and Naaman wants to give him all this reward.
Yeah, he comes with these wagon loads of gifts, and Elisha said, no, I don't want that. In fact, when he first came, some commentators believe Elisha was in his time of prayer and didn't even come out. And Naaman was highly offended that he told him to go dunk in the Jordan. He said, Abana on far, far, far cleaner rivers than Jordan. I'm going home. Servants talked him into staying. And then Elisha said, I don't want your gifts. What did Gehazi do?
He went after him and said, my master changed his mind.
Yeah, so he was dishonest. And his personal agenda caused him to misrepresent the heart of his master. And he comes back, and Elisha said, where wentest thou? He said, my heart went with thee. What an embarrassing question.
Oh.
And so here, you know, have a dose of leprosy. It's no wonder when he was assigned, he knew nothing of relational touches. He only knew mechanical touches. And so, but what had Elisha done? He had died to himself to be alive. How crucial is it for us to be usable where there is a crucial situation, to be usable where the Spirit of God dwelling within us is not grieved or quenched?
You know, the incarnation actually represents the actual physical death of Christ.
Yes.
Whereas what we're talking about in Elisha and in us ought to be that we die to self to serve others.
Right.
So principle of proximity, principle of privacy, principle of prayer, and now we have the principle of price.
Price, and where he completely died to himself that he might be usable for God. And in this case, he sees life where there was once death.
And that's exactly what Christ did.
Yes. And then the last principle here, verse 35, he returned and walked to and fro in the house, went up and stretched himself upon the child, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. First time, the child just got warm. He didn't stop short.
Mm-hmm.
Last principle is principle of perseverance.
He became obedient even the death of the cross.
He didn't
just stop with obedience. He went all the way to the cross.
Yeah, and where he said where there was a sign of life, he stayed until there was real life.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave us life, and not just life, but life more abundantly.
Yeah. I speak to our camp counselors in the summertime, and I do this session. I said, there are desperate parents sending dead campers, and when they come off the buses, they're going to either meet a defective counselor or a dedicated counselor. Mm. And I said, if you're here out of a personal agenda, it won't take long till that's revealed.
Yeah. Boy, that's true in any ministry,
yes.
Isn't it?
And so he persevered. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Mm. And you know, that really, like you said at the beginning, is a picture of the incarnation. I mean, you have all of the principles there. You have the principle of proximity. Jesus came to us. Emmanuel, God with us. You have the principle of privacy. He gave dedicated, focused attention for 3.5 years to the problem of death in men and dealt with that. He prayed, I mean, many nights, all night long, the Lord prayed. He paid the price ultimately of not just dying to self, but dying for sinners. And then he paid certainly attention to the principle of perseverance. He didn't just give us life, but even life more abundantly, and obeyed unto death. You talk about being a servant with no agenda. Jesus' agenda was to do the will of the Father who sent him.
Yes.
That was it. I hope the broadcast has been a blessing to you. You can download this broadcast as well as the other two broadcasts in the series, Incarnating the Incarnation, at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.